Here's a thought experiment. You have a flight out of a major airport at 8 in the morning. The terminal is 12 miles from downtown. In good traffic, that drive is 25 minutes. In bad traffic, it's an hour and 10. Now imagine lifting off a rooftop vertipad, climbing to altitude above the gridlock, and landing at the terminal in under 10 minutes. No highway, no rideshare surge pricing, no white-knuckle merge onto the on-ramp. That's not a fantasy anymore, it's an engineering problem. And a company called Archer Aviation has been spending the better part of 6 years trying to solve it. I'm Vector. This is Clear Direct, coming to you on Radio Hangar. Today we're breaking down Archer, their aircraft Midnight, and what may be the most complex airworthiness certification process the Federal Aviation Administration has ever been asked to run. Before we go further, a word from the people supporting this segment. AviationSoul.com makes aviation challenge coins built for the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI. Every step of the journey, commemorated in something you can actually hold. Go check them out at AviationSoul.com. Archer Aviation was founded in 2018 by Adam Goldstein and Brett Adcock, two entrepreneurs from the tech world. Neither of them came up through aviation. What they brought was the ability to raise capital and the instinct to hire aggressively in a space that was just beginning to attract serious investment. The eVTOL wave was building, venture money was moving in, and Archer positioned itself early. They hired a lot of engineers from Joby Aviation that turned out to be complicated in 2021. Joby filed suit against Archer, alleging that former Joby engineers had taken proprietary information with them when they moved over. The accusations were serious. The litigation was ugly, and for a company trying to close a major funding round and maintain credibility with aviation authorities, a trade secret lawsuit involving your closest competitor is exactly the wrong kind of noise. The case was eventually settled. The specific terms were not fully disclosed, but it resulted in Joby receiving an equity stake in Archer as part of the resolution. The lawsuit went away. Development continued. Brett Adcock eventually departed the company to pursue work in humanoid robotics, which is a different conversation entirely. Adam Goldstein remained. I bring the lawsuit up not to relitigate it because the industry has moved on, but because it illustrates something real about the eVTOL space right now. The community of engineers who deeply understand electric propulsion, high-cycle battery management, fly-by-wire flight controls, and rotorcraft certification is not large. It is genuinely small. When multiple well-funded companies compete for that same talent pool, things get messy. Archer's experience was public. Versions of that dynamic are playing out across the industry in ways that don't make headlines. Now let's talk about Midnight, because the aircraft itself is worth understanding. Midnight is designed to carry a pilot and up to 4 passengers. That design decision matters more than it might seem. Several eVTOL developers have aimed directly at autonomous operation, which means they are certifying under an entirely different regulatory category with a different set of unknowns and a different relationship with the FAA. Archer made a deliberate choice to go piloted first. You build the type certificate around a human in the loop. You accumulate a safety record. You earn operational trust over time. Then you have a conversation about what autonomy might look like later. The airframe uses 2 categories of rotors. The first category is lift rotors, larger diameter, positioned to generate vertical thrust during takeoff and landing. The second category is tilting rotors, which start in a vertical orientation for hover and transition to horizontal as the aircraft accelerates into forward flight. The lift rotors, once the aircraft is in cruise, fold back against the airframe to reduce drag. You're not dragging large diameter blades through the air at cruise speed, you're running on the tilting rotors only, which are optimized for forward thrust. This architecture is the answer to a specific engineering tension in eVTOL design. If you optimize a rotor for vertical lift, it's generally not ideal for forward cruise. If you optimize for cruise efficiency, your hover performance suffers. Folding some rotors in cruise and dedicating others to forward flight is one approach to that trade-off. It adds mechanical complexity, but it buys aerodynamic efficiency, and in electric aircraft, where every watt-hour matters, efficiency is not optional. The total rotor count also provides extraordinary redundancy. Lose a motor. Lose a rotor. The flight control system is designed to compensate, redistribute load across the remaining rotors, and continue stable flight. The certification standard for this kind of fault tolerance is extremely demanding, and it should be. We are talking about urban airspace, low altitudes, and passenger transport. But redundancy at this scale is also a genuine safety argument that Archer can make to the FAA that traditional helicopters with a single main rotor simply cannot. And this brings us to what is genuinely unprecedented about what Archer is attempting. There is no existing section of the Code of Federal Regulations that says exactly how you certify a multi-rotor electric fly-by-wire piloted tilt-rotor air taxi. The FAA has type certified helicopters. The FAA has type certified fixed-wing aircraft of virtually every configuration. The FAA has type certified tilt-rotors, the Bell Boeing V-22 being the most prominent example, though that certification took roughly 2 decades and involved military authorities as the primary certifying body for most of that time. What the FAA has not done before Archer, before Joby, before any of the current generation of eVTOL developers, is establish a complete and precedented certification path for what they now call the powered lift category, as applied to small electric commercial aircraft. The FAA created new regulatory structures specifically for this, working with manufacturers to define the applicable standards on a largely case-by-case basis. What that means in practice is that Archer and the FAA are, to some extent, building the framework as they go. What reliability standard applies to the fly-by-wire system? What testing protocol demonstrates adequate battery safety in a crash-survivable scenario? What fatigue life analysis applies to composite rotor blades, cycling through thousands of folding operations? How do you model and verify the acoustic footprint for urban noise ordinance compliance? Each of these questions has to be answered, documented, reviewed, and accepted before a type certificate moves forward. The data tells an interesting story when you look at how long novel certifications have historically taken. The Cirrus SR-22, a relatively conventional aircraft, took years from prototype to certificate. The Cirrus Vision Jet, a single-engine personal jet, took the better part of a decade. The V-22 Osprey, which at least had a prior fixed-wing certification framework to draw on for parts of the process, was in development for over 20 years before it entered military service. The eVTOL developers are working against timelines that, historically speaking, would be aggressive for an aircraft with an established certification precedent, let alone one that is genuinely novel in almost every relevant dimension. Here's what most people miss in covering this. The military work may actually be the most important thing Archer is doing right now. Archer has been working with the United States Air Force through a program called AFWERCS, which is the Air Force's Innovation and Technology Acceleration Initiative. The relationship involves Archer flying Midnight in operational scenarios that demonstrate military utility. Cargo delivery at forward operating locations, personnel transport between bases, logistics support in environments where helicopter availability is constrained by maintenance or cost. From a certification standpoint, this work is valuable beyond the revenue it generates. Every flight hour under contract with the Air Force generates data, flight data, maintenance data, battery cycle data, failure mode data. That data is the currency of a certification program. The FAA does not take a manufacturer's word for it when a manufacturer says their aircraft is safe. They ask to see the evidence. Military flight operations, conducted under documented protocols with rigorous record keeping, generate the kind of evidence that feeds the certification dossier. There is also a signal in the Department of Defense's interest in eVTOL that goes beyond Archer specifically. The military's appetite for electric vertical flight capability is real and growing. The logistics advantages are significant. Lower acoustic signature than helicopters, lower infrared signature. Simpler drivetrains with fewer mechanical failure points. For certain mission profiles, eVTOL platforms offer real operational advantages. Defense investment in the category creates a funding floor that helps the most credible developers stay solvent through the long certification grind. United Airlines has also entered into a conditional purchase agreement for Midnight aircraft. Conditional is the operative word. The agreement is contingent on certification, on operational approval for air taxi routes, and on the aircraft meeting agreed upon performance parameters. It is not an invoice. It is an expression of intent backed by a financial commitment to keep that intent visible. United's procurement team does not sign paper for aircraft categories that have no realistic path to delivery. Their involvement is meaningful as a signal, not a guarantee. Now, let's be honest about where the headwinds are, because this segment isn't a press release. Battery energy density is the ceiling that constrains everything in electric aviation. The energy you can store per kilogram of battery determines your range, your payload, your economic viability, and ultimately your market. Lithium-ion chemistry has been improving consistently, but the improvements are measured in single-digit percentages per year, not the order of magnitude leaps that would transform the economics overnight. For Archer's target missions, short hops under 25 miles, current battery technology is workable. For longer routes, or for the kind of operational intensity that a commercial air taxi service requires, the math is tight. Aircraft cycling through 20 or 30 revenue flights a day need battery packs that hold up to thousands of charge cycles without significant capacity degradation, and in the specific thermal and mechanical environment of flight operations. The VertiPad infrastructure challenge runs parallel to certification and is just as complex. Archer can certify Midnight, but Midnight has to land somewhere. Building VertiPads in urban environments requires navigating local zoning, securing utility connections for high capacity, electrical charging, conducting noise impact studies, and coordinating with local air traffic management to define approach and departure procedures in already congested low-altitude airspace. This is a real estate and regulatory problem that no amount of engineering solves. It has to be negotiated city by city, building owner by building owner, municipality by municipality. And noise is not a solved problem. Midnight at operational altitude is, by Archer's acoustic testing data, quieter than many helicopters, and that's a genuine achievement in blade design and motor synchronization. But quieter than a helicopter is not the same as quiet. The threshold for community acceptance in residential urban environments is lower than the threshold for legal compliance. A VertiPad located in a commercial district might operate without complaint. The same VertiPad near a neighborhood generates pushback that no decibel measurement fully answers. This is a social and political challenge, and it's one that the eVTOL industry has not yet had to face at scale because operations at scale have not yet begun. The economics deserve a moment too. For the airport shuttle use case to work, the ticket price has to be competitive with ground alternatives and attractive enough to a passenger who could just take a car. The cost per flight hour for an electric aircraft, once the infrastructure is in place and the fleet is operating, has genuine potential to be lower than a helicopter. But the capital cost of standing up that infrastructure, the cost of aircraft acquisition, the cost of regulatory compliance, and the cost of operations in a new category with a new safety framework are front-loaded. The business model works at scale. Getting to scale is expensive. The honest assessment of where Archer stands, they are further along in the FAA process than most companies outside of Joby. They have military revenue that supports development. They have a credible commercial partner in United. They have an aircraft that has flown with pilots on board and accumulated meaningful test data. They also have a certification process ahead of them that is unprecedented in its complexity, a battery technology curve that they cannot accelerate, and a market infrastructure that doesn't exist yet. The target for initial commercial operations sits in the latter half of this decade. Given the variables involved, watching that date with engaged curiosity rather than either cynicism or uncritical optimism is the right posture. Background for this segment came from Archer Aviation's investor documentation, reporting by the Air Current, and FAA public records on the powered lift certification framework. More at radiohangar.com. Whether Midnight gets there on schedule or not, the engineering decisions Archer has made are thoughtful. The problems they're trying to solve are real, and the certification path they're blazing will shape every electric aircraft program that follows. That part's already done. I'm Vector. Keep the avionics green.